Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Greetings, and before I begin the teaching part of our broadcast today, let me say just a brief word about finances, something that I never do. If you've been listening to the broadcast regularly, you can listen for years and hear me make no reference to finances at all. And I simply want to say this, that the majority of the cost is borne by Beacon Baptist Church, the vast majority, more than 90%. Less than 10% is supplied by the gifts of radio listeners. We're grateful for every contribution from any radio listener. We are going to have to make some cuts, it looks like, in the year 2007, unless the Lord supplies some additional funds. We expanded our radio log quite a bit in 2005 because we had built up a reserve in a savings account, which enabled us to do that and to carry it through 2006 without incurring indebtedness. We do not operate the Beacon Broadcast with any indebtedness. We do not owe any radio stations. We do not leave any of our bills unpaid. They're all paid in a timely manner. And we do not have sufficient funds to maintain our full present radio log through the year, through the end of the year 2007, unless we receive some additional contributions. We do have enough to start the year. And we may do that and just see how far our funds take us. But it's not easy to drop radio stations just willy-nilly. That sort of thing ought to be done with a little bit of advance preparation, both for the station and for us. So I just mention that so that you can make it a matter of prayer. And if the Lord lays it upon your heart to send a gift to help us remain on the I've lost track now. Don't have it in front of me. I suppose 12 or 13 radio stations that we are on. We will rejoice in that. And if the Lord does not supply the funds that are necessary, then we will be happy to cut back and see the income and the outgo balance. Assured that whatever the Lord intends for us to do, He's going to pay for. He's going to supply. All right, back to Romans chapter 12. We are dealing with the subject of spiritual gifts. There is a list of such spiritual gifts in Romans chapter 12. It is not a complete list, but it is a pretty good list. Seven gifts that are mentioned in Romans 12 are speaking gifts. One is the gift of teaching, one is the gift of exhortation. And we have been dealing with exhortation. We're going to take that up, and I trust we'll conclude that on the broadcast today and perhaps move into the service gifts. Let me read Romans 12, beginning at verse 6. Having then gifts, differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Teaching and exhortation are the two speaking gifts that are named here. The teaching one is simpler than the gift of exhortation because, and I'm finally going to get around to this area of exploration that I have mentioned before but haven't really gotten into, the whole question of whether exhortation is both a gift and an office. Teaching obviously is. There's a gift of teaching, and then there are offices that require that gift. Certainly the office of pastor requires a teaching gift. Presumably the office of an evangelist requires a teaching gift. Is there such a thing as an office of exhortation? Well, as I have already pointed out on previous broadcasts, the office of pastoring requires gifts both in the area of teaching and exhortation. If teaching is defined as being the ability to explain the Word of God, to impart understanding and information about what the Word of God says, the gift of exhortation is the ability to apply that information to present-day situations of the lives of the people that you are ministering to. And so, in that respect, we could say exhortation has an office. It has the same office as the office of teaching, namely that of pastor. If a pastor is going to do the things that the Bible instructs him to do in the area of preaching, he will have to combine the gifts of teaching and exhortation. Exhortation is an important part of preaching, just as much as teaching is. But the question still is there any kind of office that is not the office of pastor or evangelist? We're assuming that there are no longer any gifts of apostle or prophet. But are there any other offices that would correspond to the gift of exhortation? It is my understanding that in the old days, the Methodists had an office they called the exhorter. They had pastors, they had exhorters. If I understand correctly, an exhorter was something like a prospective pastor, a pastor in training, a pastor in waiting, a man who was being considered as a pastor. He was allowed to exhort, and if he did that skillfully enough and showed promise for the ministry and was willing to be trained and gain the necessary experience and so forth, he might go from being an exhorter to becoming a pastor, a preacher. As far as I know, that's the only example of this in history. I may be ignorant of other examples. And as far as I know, that particular office is no longer utilized even among Methodists. So, it would seem apparent to me that the gift of exhortation is, in most cases, exercised independently of a recognized office. In other words, you may have the gift of exhortation. You may not have the gift of teaching. You may not be qualified to fill an office, but you may have a special gift in exhortation. I think that some exhorters will become teachers. Some exhorters may never become teachers, but some people have a gift of exhortation. And remember, exhortation, by definition, means advising, pleading, encouraging, warning, strengthening, comforting. And it carries with it the idea of coming alongside to help. What the Holy Spirit does to us comes alongside to help. But we are to come alongside one another in the body of Christ and help one another, to exhort one another. Remember, Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. That's something that all of us are to do one to another. And some people have more of a gift in this area than others. And if so, exercise it. Use it, my dear brother, my dear sister. You can come alongside others in the body of Christ and advise them, encourage them, strengthen them, comfort them, encourage them to keep on keeping on, to keep on being faithful, to keep applying the word that they have been taught. You are sitting in church hearing the same sermons they are hearing. You are hearing wonderful truth that applies not only to your life, but you recognize at times that this truth would apply in a wonderful way to the situation of so-and-so, and he or she seems to be struggling. How wonderful if you would get up with that brother or sister and help them to make the connection between the information that they have received from the Word of God and the application of that Word to their life. That's exhortation. I'm confident that the gift of exhortation can be used in Sunday school classes. Sometimes people will be called upon to teach who really don't show a lot of teaching ability, but they do seem to have an ability to communicate encouragement and advice and comfort and are able to strengthen the people of God. A person like that, I don't think, should be given a permanent teaching position in the church. You need teachers who can teach. But to substitute once in a while, this could very, very much be used in the realm of testimony. If you have opportunity to give your testimony. Again, anybody can do that, but those who have the gift of exhortation can do it in such a wonderfully helpful way. Giving your testimony in such a way that you do exactly this. You exhort others. You advise them, encourage them, comfort them, strengthen them by the giving of your testimony. Perhaps in reaching out into the community, in rest homes and jail services and so forth, sometimes there may be wonderful opportunities to be an exhorter in a situation like that. How about the area of counseling? I think those who advocate what is now called in our day nouthetic counseling are exactly right, that the work of counseling is really supposed to be the function of every member of the body to every other member, and certainly those mature members of the body to other members who are not maybe so mature. Counseling should certainly not be relegated strictly to the realm of the, quote, so-called professional counselor. That's the way it is often conceived of in our day, and I think that's entirely wrong. Pastors certainly are equipped to counsel. A knowledge of God's Word, fellowship with the Lord, relationship with Christ, an ability to see the needs of others and to help them, that can be used both publicly in the pulpit and privately in counseling. That's just part of pastoral ministry. Some of that ministry is public. Some of that ministry is private. The private ministry in homes with individuals, whether it's actually in an office and called a counseling session or if it's a more informal thing, that's counseling. That's exhorting. And exhorting, counseling, can be a combination, again, of teaching and exhorting. Sometimes you open your Bible and teach people a truth from the Bible, a particular passage of Scripture, some truth which they either don't know or seem to have forgotten. You teach it to them to remind them what the Word of God says, but you've got to make the bridge between what the Bible says and how this applies to their situation. That's exhorting. We call that counseling. The Bible calls that exhorting. That's what it is. But there certainly is a place for every Christian to exhort every other Christian, that is, in more modern terminology, for every Christian to become a competent counselor of other Christians. We should be able to counsel our children. We should be able to counsel other members of our family, counsel our spouse. We ought to be able to counsel other members of the body of Christ. It requires a knowledge of God's Word, a fellowship with the Lord, which is current, and a desire to help others. And when you do that, you will exhort them. You will advise them, encourage them, strengthen them, comfort them. We might call it counseling. The Bible calls it exhorting. And so, two speaking gifts, teaching and exhorting, may they be used regularly for the honor and glory of Christ. Until tomorrow, good day. May God give you His eternal peace.